Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Hoss, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Coach Moore, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. So three straight wins, first time since 2022. The Saints put three in a row together, four of your last six. Rather than we got a lot of different directions we can go in. So you choose. You look at that final stat page, third down, you know, penalties, wherever you – what stood out to you on that final stat page that was important yesterday?
Yeah, I thought certainly third downs were a telling tale of this game. I thought, just from an efficiency standpoint, we did a really good job stopping them from, run the football. We knew they'd try and run it a lot. It felt like offensively we moved the ball pretty well, at times. And obviously there's some situational football stuff we got to get better at, and we got to take advantage of some – finish some drives with touchdowns. The impact I think that our guys had on that game was really awesome.
Yep, third down, 2 of 15 was the Jets. Also 2 of 4 on fourth down. So that's 4 of 19. You were 9 of 19. That's a sizable difference. They were 21% on third and fourth, and you were 47% on third and fourth. Was the plan kind of? I mean, Tyler was 32 of 49 for 308. Was it kind of the plan going in to kind of use maybe the short passing routes and, to have him throw it as much as he did, or things were just working?
I think games evolve. They take their own course. Certainly go into games with, the hope and goal of, run the football and play mixed downs. Felt like the passing game had a lot of positives. Felt like the tempo and him just finding completions. I thought Tyler did an excellent job of finding completions, both in the short game and in the intermediate. And so I thought credit to him.
Coach Moore, when I look at what happened yesterday, I take notes and I'm looking at the game. Instead of like a couple of pages of notes, I guess a good thing had like 4 pages. A number of highlights and all the game balls you had to give away. A very historical type game to close out the 2025 home slate. To do it in front of the home crowd, you look at Cam Jordan, Taysom Hill, all that was involved. No, this is a very historical game for the Saints organization.
Yeah, I thought, we put a lot of importance into this. This is our last opportunity to play at home in front of our fans in the dome. We've been able to win a couple of them at home, and so we wanted to finish off strong. And so I felt like I thought it was great energy in the dome. I thought the fans did an excellent job. They showed some resiliency, just like all of us, to kind of navigate this season the way we all have. I thought it was great energy, and I thought, some of our veteran guys just made some phenomenal contributions in this game, which is credit to those guys as the season's transpired for those guys to be playing the way they are. I think it's just a really, really special on those guys.
Now, Coach Moore, Hoss had asked you this about third down, and I thought that, okay, now we're playing complimentary football. The first game we really dominated on third down when you look at the numbers. We've always been outstanding third down defense. That was ridiculous. 2 of 15, they're only 13%. And that's winning football. 36.5% we've given up. And our offense, we need to get in the 40s. You want to be in the high 40s. We were 39.1% on the season, but 47%. I know you're emphasizing that because then you're controlling the ebb and flow of the game. And you look at the third down conversions. And that's why when you look at outstanding first downs, basically 2-1, 23-12. And then more than 2-1, you look total net yards, 412 to 195. I think this day and age, Boy, Coach Daly got to be really proud. Anytime you hold an NFL team under 200 yards, hell yeah, you should win. And we did convincingly win this game. I know it was close at half, but when you're doing that and you're holding an opponent under 200 yards total offense, you're definitely controlling the game.
Yeah, no question. I think from a defensive side, I think you credit, again, it's got to start with running the football. They got some really talented runners. They were going to try and run the football, do a good job in that regard, and then it allows you to rush the passer. And now the rush and coverage tie together. I thought our back end, you know, we had 8 sacks, and if you watch all those clips, look at the back end. The back end looks really good. They're covering things really well and providing our guys opportunities to get after the quarterback.
And, Coach, obviously, talk about Taysom Hill. It's been up and down for him, running the football, catching the football. But yesterday, it was like he was, I don't know, 30. We'll go back to 30. How about like that? Because he's still running to the wall for you. But just 1,000 yards receiving in his career, throwing the pass, running, and I think really kind of bouncing back after that first carry, which was 8 yards, but, you know, the ball comes out. Man, he really busted his butt to come back and make the most of that day.
Yeah, just an awesome game by Taysom. You know, again, you guys face resilient or face you know, challenging situations in this league. You got to respond the right way. I thought he responded just phenomenal. We asked him to do a lot of things, you know, just with our roster, the way everything's been moving. You know, he was involved with a lot of different things, from playing running back to playing quarterback to line up at, you know, tight end and receiver. He contributed in a lot of positive ways, and, you know, it's a really cool way to finish.
Now, Coach Moore, when I look at this, and this could be your question and you be involved or Mickey Loomis, how do you have the balance? Because you want your young players to work out and lead your team because you have years to come into the future. But when you have, like, mainstay players, like you got, like, Double D, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, and then Taysom Hill, when did you put them out to pasture, so to speak? Because they say, oh, I think they might have one more year in it. I mean, I think money definitely comes into play. But I'm looking at, I don't know, Cam Jordan's leading us in sacks this year, 8.5. He just surpassed the great Ricky Jackson I played with, the Dawn Patrol. Now look at DeMario Davis, what, the first time back-to-back seasons, over 125 tackles. We all know what Devontae David means for the Buccaneers. And you look Bobby Wagner, that's all household names. And then like 9 seasons in a row, he's had over 100 tackles. So I don't know. You could say, "Oh, we want to go young," but don't the young guy got to beat out the old guy? I mean, when I look at that,
yeah, no question. I think when you look at this thing again, you know, creating an environment, creating a culture is ultimately you're trying to create a winning culture, and so that's our whole goal and objective of this whole entire process. And so, I think credit to our guys, credit to the locker room, credit to the people in this organization to keep battling through this entire season to win a few games as of late. We only get 2 more opportunities, so we got to take advantage of those 2, finish off the right way, create those habits, those winning habits, those expectations. And then, you know, there's plenty of time to kind of handle all the stuff that comes in the future. But, you know, we think the world of these guys. These guys are playing really good football. Again, like you said, DeMario, Cam, Taysom, you can go on and on. These guys are playing really, really good football right now. And so, you know, they're as good as we can ask for.
Need to take a break. As Coach Moore said, 2 more at Tennessee this week and then at Atlanta to wrap it up. Take a break. This is a Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Haas along with Bobby Hebert back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Mike Haas. And, Coach, you had four wide receivers up, and I understand you could put Taysom in any column you want to, but certainly for the Jets, you got to figure, all right, let's stop Olave. At least don't let Olave go out and beat us. And yet he has a career high, 16 targets, 10 receptions, 148 yards. And this is a young man who only played eight games last year. Because of injury, he's got eight touchdowns. That's a career high by three. Just talk about him and how he's kind of answered the call coming back from last year and the injuries.
Yeah, I think Chris has just had an awesome year. Getting better each and every opportunity. I think as you see the season's progressed, he's gotten better. And he's still, a younger player, so to speak, as far as different opportunities that he's going to have to grow. And I think, this was a great example. Again, a game of he certainly had a number of targets. He played a lot of different positions. His versatility showed up, play inside and outside, played a lot of snaps. And so I thought there was a lot of positives, and he made some big plays that had huge impacts on this game.
Coach Moore, when I look at we were playing the Jets, and I just look at all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. I was like, no, you never want to be in the minus category. You look at the Jets right now, they minus 18, the turnover margin, obviously, which dead last. And I was saying, I don't know, I look at their special teams units, the coverage or the kicker, the punter and all that. But then you look at their return game, they were number one kickoff return and top 10, number eight, like punt return. Would you have going crazy on Coach Galliano if Williams would have ran, taken it to the house for a touchdown? I know they had a 42-yard return. I'm like, why are we kicking it to him? Because I think they played a game they only scored like an opponent kick return. So, I mean, I was like, I don't know, you could be hard-headed, but like, okay, we're going to show that we can cover him. But I was like, a 42-yard kick return? No, that's what they do best. Did that ever cross your mind? Oh, no, let's tackle him.
Yeah, we tried to get as much distance as we could on all those kicks. And so, they even returned a couple that are, certainly a few yards deep in the end zone. And so they were going to take some chances there. I thought Charlie was able to kick some, really deep and out of contention there for them. And so we knew the impact it could potentially have on this game based off how their season's gone. Their special teams had, a lot of positive plays for them.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at always look at this. Obviously, whether you're running the ball well or not, you still have to have the rushing attempts, and it could depend on the game. We had 25 rushing attempts, so always like 28 to 32, speaking in general. But I know, look at the injuries we've had at the running back position and who we utilize in fourth, fifth back, whatever. And I was telling the fans this, that our average needs to be better. Now, they got to open up holes up front. It's a combination of running back and offensive line. We were outstanding on stopping the run. We only gave up 3.2 yards a carry. I think Breece Hall is a stud. But you look only 3.2, and then you look in the season, and we were giving up like 4.1, and we're only getting 3.6. So I think we need to flip that. But then you look at the game, we were like 3.4, and we were 3.6 for the season. So, and this, the statement I made, if we can run the ball better, that means Chuck will be better. As a quarterback, if you can run the ball, that's a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah, no question. I think, certainly running the football is a goal and aspiration of ours. We got to do a better job there. And it just, everyone's working at it. And, everyone wants the same goal here. We want to run the football a little bit better. Put ourselves in more favorable situations there, which will lead into some of the action game and some of the stuff that comes off of that. And again, being able to control a football game through the run game is obviously a really good formula. But, obviously credit to our defense. They did a really good job of stopping that. Like you said, Breece Hall, these guys were going to run the football. They were going to attempt the run, and he's a really talented runner in this league. And so he's had a ton of success before this.
So, Coach, it's I don't know how you keep how Charlie Smith keeps, you know, kind of increasing the next chapter of this movie, but he does. Pretty impressive. Signs a 3-year deal. So he knows he needs to come out and have a solid game and does just that. 35, 49, 36, 50, 39. The only one he missed was that one before half from 61. And quite frankly, if you'd have showed me the list beforehand, I said, which one did he miss? I don't know if I'd have picked the 61. but just the kind of mindset, he knows, he watched what happened with Blake Rupe. He knows it's a week-by-week thing, and you just live week-by-week, but you got to be impressed.
Yeah, Charlie's just done an excellent job. I think, you know, a good example of what player development does to people. And so he's done an excellent job of taking advantage of this opportunity. I think he's done a lot of positive stuff in the kickoff game and certainly the field goal situation. And so obviously he had a really positive impact on this. We weren't able to, you know, finish some drives like the way we want. And so we end up with 3 points, and Charlie's able to knock them down.
Now, Coach Moore, I think actually this, if not every game, every other game, and we still have 2 games left in the season, getting off to a fast start. The question I have, what can you do maybe in the off season to address that? You know, when you break down the film, you know, the script, the first 12 or 15 plays, I don't know, from an offense defensive perspective. But we've been outscored 109-29. It's almost 4-1. Is that something that, I mean, how do you address that? Because, I mean, I'm like, all I know is, I mean, you can't, come on, Taysom, don't fumble on the second play, whatever. But it's like we've been chasing points, and I know I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. You've probably never been part of a slow start, being outscored 109-29 in the first quarter.
Yeah, there's definitely frustration there. I think we obviously recognize the slow starts we've had. We got to play better there. We got to find ourselves a better formula that allows us to be successful there, because there's a lot of positives. In the back end, you know, those last 3 quarters, I feel like there's a lot of statistical positive things that have occurred because of that. But we got to start faster. We know if you get a lead in the dome, playing with our fans, that could be a really, really special place, and we just got to get there.
Need to take another break. You are listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We're back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, and moving on to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service, and that would be Tennessee and Nashville. Both teams kind of mirror each other. Now, they're 3-12, but they were 0-4, then 1-5. They've won 2 of their last 3, so you can look at this a couple different ways. They were also up 9-6 at half over Kansas City, just like you were up 9-6, and then they win 26-9. So they've won 2 of their last 3. They've scored 31, 24, and 26 points in their last 3 games. So I know which way you're going to look at it. This is a team that you got to take very seriously.
Yeah, no question. This is a team that's gotten better each week. Each opportunity they've had, they got some really talented players. To start with the offense, you got Cam Ward. He's getting better each and every week. He's going to be a big-time quarterback in this league. Tony Pollard, I was with him in Dallas. He can make big time plays from the running back position. They got, they've invested a ton in the offensive line. Then on defense, they got some premier players. Their front, they've invested in heavily. They got one of the best interior defensive linemen in the entire NFL. And you can just tell they've gotten a lot better as the season's progressed.
Now, Coach Moore, do you have a direct line to the Weather Channel or whatever? Because you look, and not too many times the Saints play in inclement weather. Now, I know it's a lot could change. Look, Sunday, you look, you can talk to Syria, 5-day forecast, whatever. But, you look on Sunday, December the 28th. Does that dictate how you practice during the week and maybe the weather you could be dealing with? I mean, I was looking with Mike to tell you here, maybe 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, like 23 degrees, and it goes up to 61. That, you know what that reminds me of, Coach Moore? You know who got a break? The Jacksonville Jaguars are playing in Denver, and it's in the 60s at this time of the year. I was like, what? The Jaguars? Sean Payne's got to be thinking, like, damn, it can't be cold for that Florida team? That could affect a game plan and what you do in Nashville depending on the weather.
I think you just have to be aware of it. Obviously, we've played a couple of weather games this year, you know, certainly Miami and Tampa as of late. And so you have to make adjustments here and there as you go. But I thought our guys have handled it really well. They've handled the weather. You know, we've spent plenty of time practicing, training in different weather conditions. And so, you know, our guys will be fine.
You know, Kellen, what I like, you know, because you got to provide that veteran leadership, is that Justin Reed. All of a sudden, he's hurt. He bounces back. He leads the team in tackles with 9. And I think he's like the older alpha dog in the secondary with the young secondary. And you got Alante Taylor being that young alpha. And just talk a little bit about Justin Reed. He had 9 total tackles. Then I look at Alante Taylor. 7 total tackles. He led the team with 5 unassisted. He ends up with a sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. But you need that on the back end. You need him to play with a lot of confidence. And in all position groups, you got to have that one leader that, as a coach, you can count on. And, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And sometimes it has to be player to player versus coach to player as far as being held accountable to one another.
Yeah, it's been fun to see the progress our secondary's made. Some younger guys getting better each and every week, with mixed in with some veteran leadership and what Alante's done. You know, getting another sack now. You know, the sack leader for the Saints history from a cornerback position. He's done a really nice job. And then, you know, Justin's just a really steady veteran. You know, he's been at this for a while. You know, going back to his days in Houston and Kansas City, and he's just the ultimate pro. If every young guy could just spend a day being around Justin Reed, they're going to become a better pro. And he's the ultimate competitor. He's the ultimate preparer. And he just does a really good job on Sundays.
And kind of stay at the safety position and talk about the flip end of that, which would be the rookie, Jonas Sanker. To me, just an outstanding tackler fundamentally. First off, he can put a big hit on you, but just has really good fundamentals. But, man, just the instinct, that the interception yesterday, he's got 2 on the year. I mean, I know I've talked to him. Same thing with Quincy. I mean, they can't feel like rookies anymore, 1. And 2, this is so invaluable for what they will see down the road.
Yeah, they've ended up playing a ton of football this year, which is, you know, going to be positive for their growth. Again, he's an impact player. He's very physical player coming out of the safety position, going and making tackles, making hits. He does an excellent job with that. And I think you can see from a pass game perspective, he's getting better. And so to have a couple turnovers now this year, certainly this last one, awesome recognition. Big time play, had a huge impact on the game.
Now, Kellen, this is always intriguing me because, you know, when you all of a sudden I'm the man in charge, I'm the head coach, you're putting a staff together. And when it's a defensive coordinator or different position groups, and when you have meetings, okay, who you have a relationship with, you know, network, and who you can trust. And to me, this is a perfect example of Coach Staley, and you probably talked to him. So what do you think about maybe these guys? And when I'm talking about, like, Chris Rump, you look at what he was able to do. I'm looking at Jonathan Bullard, Jonah Williams. Okay, I'm looking at Chris Rump, sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. Jonah Williams, sack. Looking at quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. And you look at Bullard. All of them being involved, like, what does that mean? Like, okay, I can't know everybody. I trust Brandon Staley in his opinion, and that has to go a long way when it all of a sudden, look, we can trust this guy, and then he comes to the team and it comes to fruition that, yeah, they're in the mix. They're part of us helping us win, because that changes year to year. And just talk a little bit about that, about how you communicate with your coaches and all, because you might be familiar with a player and he might say, coach, I'm telling you, Kellen, that this guy can play. We got to get him on the team.
Yeah, I think it's a really good example of just how you build rosters. You know, we got a lot of people involved with this, and, you know, it's all of us working together for a common goal. And so our personnel department, led by Mickey and all the rest of those guys, do an excellent job of, you know, evaluating this whole entire league, all of college football, year in, year out, continue to be really ahead of things. And then, you know, coaches naturally have exposure to certain players. And so those are really, really valuable experiences when guys have been at other spots. You can see some of the depth players that we've been able to add to our team, you know, there was ties to them. And I think that allowed us to have a ton of confidence that these guys would be ready when the opportunity presented itself. And, you know, certainly when you talk about the defense line, that edge rush group, there's a number of examples there that have been really positive for us.
Well, Coach, a few tweaks as expected this week. You'll have practice tomorrow since Thursday is Christmas Day. But best of luck. Three straight, become four straight, and just, you know, keep stacking those W's, and happy holidays to you and the family.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show will continue. We'll bring in the local young man, Terry Joseph, Saints defensive pass game coordinator. Terry Joseph will join Bobby and I next here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, and happy to have New Orleanian Saints defensive pass game coordinator Terry Joseph joining us. 19 years as a college coach, big coaching veteran, Texas, and now his first year in the NFL. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight.
You bet. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand the words, Saints defensive pass game coordinator, but give us a little sense of your role and how you interact with the DB's coach and then the defensive coordinator and Brandon Staley, and how the responsibilities are somewhat different.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody knows that, you know, Brandon is the defensive coordinator, and Grady is our defensive backs coach. You know, he primarily works with the corners. And then I'm kind of like the go-between to kind of make sure everything's kind of tied together as far as the secondary and, you know, defending the pass game. And, you know, working along with Brandon and Grady, we kind of come together with a plan along with our linebacker coach, Coach Sermon, to where we can have everything pretty much tied together on the back end to make sure that we don't allow people to throw the ball over our head.
You know, Terry, when I look at, like, okay, you got a young position group, a lot of younger guys in the secondary that you're counting upon, and at the end of the season, they're no longer young, they're no longer rookies. What have you challenged? Because Justin Reed, he's been around, but Alante Taylor to be that alpha. Now, he had a big game. Seven total tackles. He led the team in unassisted with five, a sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. I think Alante Taylor accepts the challenge, but do you have to go out and maybe pull him aside and say, look, we don't have a lot of more no more, Paulson and Debo, maybe when you were young coming in, that you got to be that. No honey badger, whatever it might be. So how do you approach a younger player when all of a sudden, no, you've been around here long enough, you got to be that alpha?
Well, yeah, I think the one great thing about Alante, that's already how he's built. You know, he wants to be the guy. He wants to be the playmaker for us in the secondary. I think one of the biggest challenges that he's had is that because of our situation, you know, in our base defense, he's played corner. And then when we go to our sub package, he's had to go in and be the star. And those two positions are a totally different mindset. You know, when he's in there at star, he's a blitzer. He's involved in a run game. He has to tackle. And then, you know, when he gets on a corner, he's more on an island in a one-on-one situation. So I think our biggest, you know, work in progress and our challenge with Alante is being able to get him to switch in between series from, hey, being a lockdown corner for first and second down, and then on third down, jumping into that playmaking uniform where you're the star, you're closer to the box, and you have more impact on the game on those downs.
Now, Coach Joseph, what makes like a reliable veteran safety? And look, because really, you're the quarterback on the back end. Look, we just put Brett Maxey in the Saints Hall of Fame with the Dome Patrol. He was that guy, getting people aligned, pointing them in the right direction. We've had some outstanding safeties. I look at Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, and I just mentioned, Honey Badger. When you look at it, and we had one, I thought, a veteran, and Julian Blackman, and what he was able to do. But the question I have is, like, what are you looking at and who you can rely upon? You trying to get Sanker to play that role now? He's making plays. You look, he had an interception. He led the team with two passes defended. But what does it take to truly be, like I was saying, all I know is Blackman just got here, look what he's providing. I think at times we've had that with Justin Reed, but Blackman's more of a playmaker. But just describe to the fans, well, what would be that veteran reliable safety that you look in and that you can always have confidence and count on?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, the safety is really the quarterback of the defense because he has to get, you know, the back seven lined up. He has to get the adjustments. So when you start talking about that position, you want somebody who has a really high football IQ, who can really do a great job of anticipating what's going to happen. You know, these offenses, they're so sophisticated. You want guys who can kind of see the formation, see how they aligned, anticipate the motion, and then really have a clue of what's about to happen. And that way we can kind of anticipate our adjustment and get everybody on the same page. And, you know, those guys, this day and age, they're few and far between because it takes a special player to be willing to spend that much time watching the film and to get out in front of 70,000 people and take total command of the back end. You know, I think Justin Reed has done a good job for us, how young we are back there, but I think the more snaps that Jonas plays, eventually he can go and grow into that role. But I think the more experience you have, the more confident that you can be to make those adjustments and get us lined up and get us all on the same page.
Speaking of adjustments, talk about your role. You started at Shaw, Destrehan, LSU, Notre Dame, Texas. I mean, so when you get to those big schools, man, they're like NFL programs, but this is your first year in the NFL. What was kind of the biggest adjustment?
You know, I think for me, you know, first of all, you know, my career has probably been, could be a movie, you know, to come back and coach in a Superdome where I played as a high school player, coached as a high school coach. You know, I was able to coach in the Sugar Bowl with Texas a few years ago and now play our home games there. I think the biggest adjustment for me has just been the time. You know, like, you know, in college, your time is so divvied out, recruiting, academic checks, nutrition checks, making sure you're really responsible for the player 24/7. And then when you come to the NFL and you coaching grown men and professionals, you have a lot more time to dive in the scheme of football and figuring out ways to really help your players. And so that's been a refreshing part of the job for me. At the end of the day, when we go on the grass or the turf, it's still the same game, but it's just you have so much more time that you can invest in different ways to help the players out.
Now, Coach Joseph, when you look at like a young player, high skill set, a lot like Sanker, Quincy Riley, just bring us in the meeting room when all of a sudden, no, because it happens. You're always trying to attack the weakest link, a chess match, you know, the game plan. And he had a couple of nice pass defending, preventing one touchdown against the Carolina Panthers. But there was one drive they was going after his ass. It was like three or four times I'm saying, okay, I remember going against Alex Molden. He was a first-round draft pick with the Saints out of Oregon. What I knew was man-to-man coverage. I go, who is he guarding? I know I'm going to complete the pass. No, that's where you never want to be, that weakest link. So I just noticed in that game, boy, they were going after the young rook, Quincy Riley. How can you maybe encourage him? He says, you got to have a short-term memory. You got to keep fighting. Just talk about maybe amongst his peers and the coaches, how do you give a young player confidence? You got to just keep fighting or what?
Well, yeah, I think the good thing for us, Bobby, is that God has blessed that both of those kids, Jonas and Quincy, are great competitors. And I think everybody knows you're not going to win every one-on-one battle. However, you know, being a rookie, you do have a target on your back. So going into games, you have to understand that they're going to try to get you isolated and match up and try to take advantage of you being a first-year player. So in doing that, I think Coach Staley does a great job of trying to change the coverages when he feels those shot plays are coming that we can kind of protect those guys. But it also helps when you have veterans out there like DeMario and Pete Warner, Justin Reed, that can help disguise the coverage pre-snap. Like, hey, we know we're going to be a man-to-man, but we want to present the quarterback something else pre-snap where he can think it's zone or he can think it's some type of pressure. But in reality, we are playing man-to-man to help the quarterback have the quarterback the challenge of figuring out that we're man-to-man. We don't want to leave our guys out there to be sitting ducks. But at the end of the day, we expect them. We're in week 16. Their rookie card is long gone. So we expect those guys to go in there and compete and win their fair shares of one-on-ones.
Now, Coach Joseph, when you talk about I talk to all the assistant coaches, because you don't have a break in practice, whether you want to put a good show for the scout team, and you're going against the offense. Just talk a little bit about, we got the Dakota boys, we got Beanham and Price, South Dakota yep. State, North Dakota State. How demanding do you tell them? You got to still work on your technique, be fundamentally sound, and give the offense a good look. Just talk about those two guys, because, you know, I've taken notes on them in training camp, and obviously they're on the practice squad, so it's still a big part of the team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, you know, I think one thing that Kellen's been big on since day one has been development. So even though those guys are on a scout team, we're still coaching them to give the very best look and attack the ball to give our offensive players great reps of making sure they have to protect the ball and get themselves in position to make catches. And then, Bobby, what we do on Fridays is that after we finish our practice, we do a developmental 7-on-7 on, you know, the developmental practice squad guys on offense and a defense, and it's pretty competitive. And I think it's a sign of what we're building here. It's week 16 now. I think probably for the first however many weeks, you know, a few of the vets would stay out. Now it's probably the most competitive period of the week because all of that stay out. They're keeping score, and it's a good, fun competition that we finish the week with, and we take those guys in the meeting room, and we grade them and critique them just like they were starting against the Jets last week or the Tennessee Titans this week.
Talking with Saints defensive pass game coordinator Terry Joseph, a couple of quick ones and let you go because I'm curious. The family, Joseph, Vance, defensive coordinator in Denver, Mickey, head coach, Grambling State, and yourself. So the first part of a two-part is, when do you guys do Christmas? March? I mean, when do you guys, how could you guys all get together? So that's part one. And part two is, did you reach out to Hank Tierney? Man, that was a tough one for Shaw. Congrats to St. Charles Catholic, but that was a tough one in the dome.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, with us all being in a profession and, you know, Mickey and Vance's younger brother, my younger cousin, Sammy, he's the DB coach at Louisiana Monroe. So we don't do Christmas during Christmas time nor Thanksgiving. If we're free on any of those holidays, that means we didn't have a good season at all. So we usually get together in June while everybody's off before we head off to training camp. And so that's kind of how we handle the holidays. We do check in probably once a week. I probably won't talk to Vance this week because obviously on a short week, having to bounce back and play on Thursday. I did, believe it or not, I talked to Coach Hank Saturday night. And to be honest with you, it took me a week to get over the game before I could give him a call. And we had a great conversation. You know, Wayne Stein obviously does a great job over at St. Charles Catholic. But it was a gut-wrenching loss for the Shore Eagles. But I have full confidence that Coach is going to get those kids and they're going to bounce back and they'll be back in the dome.
Now, Coach Joseph, can I use this? I said this earlier. I'm going to use it whether you give me permission or not. I'm like, I look at the Joseph family, and you know how everybody talks about the Mannings in New Orleans? Obviously, you look Peyton, Eli, Archie, and you go on and on. But I'm talking about the West Bank, the Best Bank, the Joseph and the football family. That's definitely football royalty, considering all with the family and the cousin, whatever it might be, that name, Joseph. What y'all produce, very similar at the highest level of the Mannings. So could I continue to use that? I want your permission.
Yes, you do have my permission, and we're proud of everything that we've accomplished, and hopefully we have a lot more left to get done.
Well, that's awesome, Coach. We appreciate your time. Saints defensive pass game coordinator Terry Joseph, Shaw Eagles, Destrehan, just great to have a great homecoming, and that was a great way to end it with a victory over the Jets. Two more to go, Nashville and Atlanta. Continued success, and happy holidays.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. And who dat?
There you go. Saints defensive pass game coordinator Terry Joseph. Bobby, thanks as always, my friend.
All right, Hoss, yeah, Merry Christmas, and we got to get another win. Got to go to Nashville and win on the road. They finally won a home game, the Titans.
Yeah, November 3rd of 2024. That's a long time.
So they probably have a little confidence since they won at home. But you know what I want to see? I want to see Tyler Shuck outplay Cam Ward. That's what I want. Number 40 versus number one overall. I think it can happen for sure.
We will see. Won't take long. Thank you, my friend. Back after this, and we'll bring in Mike Dettillier. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss, as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, with Mike Dettillier, NFL analyst. And tonight, Monday Night Football, it's kind of a wild one, really. San Francisco at 10-4, at Indianapolis 8-6. So Indy was 8-2. They've lost four in a row. San Francisco was 6-4. They've won four in a row. They're 10-4. They've clinched a spot. Indy's just clinging and got Phillip Rivers, you know, 44-year-old, a quarterback. So this, but meanwhile, in the AFC South, like things were just kind of cruising along. But then Jacksonville wins six in a row and Houston wins seven in a row. And all of a sudden now Indy's on the bubble.
Mike, it's been a crazy year. You and I have talked about this about a month ago. Tampa Bay looked like they had this all sold up in the NFC South. And then what's happened? I mean, they've fallen apart. Now, Carolina, you got to ride the roller coaster with them. They win one, lose one, win one, lose one, they win. So this week they're going to probably get beat in Seattle with the Seahawks. But, you know, if Tampa wins, then it comes down to the showdown and for the final game. That to me, yeah, that's what the NFL really wants. But you're right about with San Francisco and what Shanahan's done. You talk about a team that could complain about injuries, and look where they're at. That goes to show you what Shanahan and John Lynch have done to go out and get replacement players, guys that can fill in. Okay, it's not next man up there because the next man isn't as good, but they've been able to find people that fit what they do, and Robert Saleh's done a fantastic job. A defensive coordinator, similar to what is happening in Chicago with Dennis Allen. And that, okay, maybe they weren't made to be built for the big room. But, man, they can handle defense. San Francisco just played terrific this year despite all the injuries. And they've had it more than anybody when you talk about big-name players that haven't been in the lineup.
And so the Saints go on the road at Tennessee. Tennessee beat Kansas City 26-9. And they get Tony Pollard, who Coach Moore talked about. He had him in Dallas. He's had three straight games of 100-plus. Tajay Spears had a touchdown this week in the win over Kansas City. Again, Kansas City went to their emergency quarterback. So, you know, but their defense is still their defense. And so Tennessee, when they, you know, they've won two of their last three, and they can run the ball, and they can put a hurting on you.
Well, they're good up front along the defensive line because they still have Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best in the business up front, and then Tavondre Sweat, you know, on a good day when he gets on that scale, as he would always say, I'm 355, 360 in that range. And then Arden Key, the former LSU standout edge guy who's kind of bounced around this league, but he's found a home there. Their passing game was really hurt when they lost Calvin Ridley. He had been bothered by a hamstring injury early in the year, and then he sustains a broken fibula. And so he's out, and their receiving core, all a lot of young guys, and as Bob would say, man, they like all from the United Nations. Think about the tight end, who I think's a really good player, Chika Kwanko. You know, his mother's from Nigeria. He went to Hillgrove High School, Powder Springs, Georgia, fourth-round pick from Maryland. He's caught 51 passes this year. Their other starting receiver, Alik Ayomanyer, who is from Lebanese, Libyan descent, from Alberta, Canada. Then his parents moved to Massachusetts, one of the most highly recruited wideout track athletes in the country, goes to Stanford. He's caught 34 passes this year. The other receiver now playing is another rookie, and Chimere Dike, who is from Waukesha, Wisconsin. His dad is from Nigeria. Another former track athlete, 3 years at Wisconsin, then transfers his final year to Florida to play with his old quarterback, Graham Mertz. Man, a guy that can really run. And you talk about a punt kick return guy. Man, DK's got some speed. And then the zero-star quarterback in Cam Ward. And at Miami, his final year, his quarterback assistant coach, Cody Ogeron, son of Coach O.
So what you're saying with Tennessee is that I'm going to have a hard time with these daggone names. That's the point.
Mike,
right?
Mike, you got to study up on it because I do a lot of Titans stuff. So I got to know them too. But you better study up on the names. And what great – everybody's got a different story. But look at all those guys and the contributions they've made for the Titans so far. But their secondary's leaky. That's where Tyler Shuck may be able to do some business.
Let's hope so. Thank you, my friend. Happy holidays to you.
Mike Atelier
and Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight. Thanks for listening. It's the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We will look for you next week after the Christmas holidays, see how the Saints do against the Tennessee Titans. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.